Ja, Ballpark Music und ihr schönes Stückchen Everything is Shit Except My Friendship with You. Die Band aus Brisbane, die man aufgrund ihrer Herkunft auch Brisbaneites nennen darf, spielt heute Abend im Monarchen ihr erstes Berlin-Konzert und jetzt sind sie bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen ein bisschen über die mittlerweile schon dritte LP Puddinghead, die in Australien auch schon veröffentlicht wurde. Hier kommt sie Anfang des Jahres 2015 raus. So ist das zumindest geplant. Wie gesagt, jetzt ist die Band im Studio und wir sprechen außer über die Platte auch über die prophetischen Fähigkeiten des Sängers der Band, Sam Cromack. Der hat nämlich mit 12 Jahren bereits eine Bio für die nun so erfolgreiche Band geschrieben. Wir finden raus, ob Sam heute auch einen Rucksack trägt auf der Bühne, aus dem er Lebensmittel für das Publikum zaubert, gerne auch mal auf Shows. Und wir finden noch viel, viel mehr heraus. Zunächst aber nochmal herzlich willkommen und welcome Sam, Jennifer, Paul und die Zwillinge Dean and Daniel. Hello.
Hello.
Answering in the choir. It's good. That's, seems to be a well-oiled machine there. So how are you doing? Where are you coming from today, Sam?
We are in Berlin and so far we've visited Prague, Amsterdam, Hamburg.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's awesome here. We really like it.
Cool. Is this your first European tour, actually, or...?
We did one last year, but we only really got to see the Netherlands and the UK. So first time in Germany this year, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then how are your experiences in the UK? Because so many bands that are not from the UK, they actually come to Germany and they say, oh, we're so pleased to finally have made it to Germany. Because in the UK, the guys who own the clubs are not super friendly all the time. That's what I heard, at least.
Well, we haven't played there heaps. So all our experiences have been positive. We've met mostly friendly people. And yeah, we like it there. We're excited to go there. But yeah.
we hear a lot about European hospitality when we're in Australia.
Oh, really?
They look after you a little better than we get looked after in Australia.
Oh,
so yeah, it's really nice.
I don't know. I think it was Who Made Who from Denmark who refused to play UK shows.
Really?
Because, yeah. They were like, then they kick us out of the venue and then they haven't paid us, so we're not going there anymore. But, wow. I mean, if you've made good experiences, that's super fine.
Yeah. It's, we'll see.
Part of the Commonwealth, maybe. That's why.
Like, you're Australian.
A bit of mutual respect.
Yeah. Maybe like that. Speaking about Australia, I mean, in Australia, you're one of the more famous bands. You've played the nicest slots on the biggest festivals. The venues you're using for your shows are fitting. Thousands of people fit into there. And now you're coming back to Europe and you're playing those small shows and small venues in front of people who get to know you. And it's kind of intimate. And I don't know. Do you enjoy like taking a step back into the old school days of Ballpark Music?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are. In Hamburg the other night, I reckon we would have been lucky to play to 30, 35 people, but it was so good. I think, totally. We have got used to like some of the luxuries of the bigger venues in Australia, but coming here is, I don't know, it's just so refreshing to, you know, take a step back, like you said. And I feel like the shows are way more rock and roll and have a good energy and a good intimacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I really can imagine that. And I think that some of those shows might become legendary in the back of your head because you've traveled Europe for a longer time the first time. And yeah. Have you seen the 24-Hour Party People, for example, the film about the Manchester music scene?
No, because I think I've heard of it.
There's a scene in there where like 12 or 15 people were visiting the first Sex Pistols concert in Manchester. Wow. And they were all like legends of the future music scene of Manchester.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Probably if you've played in front of 30 people yesterday in Hamburg, 15 of them are going to make music that is going to be super, super well, you know, or something like that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think when you play in front of a really small crowd, you have to keep in the back of your head that it might be the most legendary show.
Absolutely.
Although there's just 30 people, or maybe because there's only 30 people. congratulations on Puddinghead again. It's a record that's about to come out here in Germany. It's been released in Australia already, and I've read that you guys already composed for your next fourth record. I really love the songs on that album on Puddinghead. We're going to be listening to a version of She Only Loves Me When I'm There, and I think the way that you get get from the verse to the chorus in that song is alone that is worth an Oscar from my point of view.
Okay. But you know the Oscars awards films.
Yeah. maybe we
that's
should,
how good it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. Maybe then an Emmy is for TV though. I don't know. You know, maybe you should get a Mercury Prize for that.
Yeah.
Let's take that. No, but how important was producing the LP on your own for getting into the details like that? Because it must be liberating, and it's I think it's important nowadays that a band can produce itself, but it must have been hard sometimes as well. How important was it though for the result?
Yeah, I think the payoff is worth it, you know, like it's cheaper and you get so much more time. So I think that's the thing that we were chasing the most, was the extra time, you know. We wanted to be able to spend months on end kind of, you know, lazing about in our studio and having days where maybe you get nothing done, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to leave a studio feeling like, oh God, you know, we just spent a fortune and achieved nothing. So it just became like a cool place to hang out and work on our music. And yeah, I think that's the thing we were chasing the most, was to like be able to do it ourselves and be able to really immerse ourselves in the process.
Yeah.
And it was, awesome.
Cool. But and I really think that it's important nowadays that you have control over your stuff. And as you said, when you hire a producer and you go into a studio that's expensive, you might spend like $1,500 a day playing table tennis or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, damn, we didn't even record something. The most expensive table tennis match in the history of the band.
Very true.
Now, before we talk a bit more, let's listen to another song of your record. It's been a single in Australia already, and it's called Trip in the Light Fantastic. Ballpark Music nochmal auf Flux FM. Wir haben schon einiges gelernt. Sie freuen sich jetzt auch nochmal vor kleineren Publikumern zu spielen in Deutschland, obwohl es in Österreich, sage ich schon, in Australien schon so erfolgreich ist. Und es war wichtig, die Platte selbst zu produzieren. Man hat Monate an dieser aktuellen Scheibe geschraubt. Ballpark Music, Trip in the Light Fantastic. Wir reden gleich noch ein bisschen weiter und verlosen Tickets für ihre Show heute Abend im Monarchen. Ballpark Music mit Trippin' the Light Fantastic vom aktuellen Album Puddinghead, das in Australien schon draußen ist. Hier wird es im Januar 2015 erscheinen, also schon relativ bald. Und wer sich heute schon Songs aus diesem Album reinziehen möchte, der geht in den Monarchen. Da werden sie nämlich heute Abend spielen, die Herrschaften von Ballpark Music. Außerdem hören wir sie auch gleich nochmal mit einer Live-Performance des Stückes She Only Loves Me When I'm There. As I already mentioned, I've read that you started working on your new album already. I think the reason for that was you've finished Super Mario Kart or something. That's what I've read. There was like, there's only so many hours of Super Mario Kart that you can play, so we started composing again. Would you consider yourself get a question out of that. That's not too silly. But would you consider yourself as a workaholic band? Because, I mean, when one's looking at your history, you've recorded stuff back in 2009, 2010, and from then on you've been working, right? Like endlessly, nonstop.
Yes. We don't like to be bored, so we want to keep ourselves busy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think it ever feels like we are working really hard. It's just really natural. I think we just have a tendency to keep working, and once one thing is finished, we just kind of naturally move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and I've read as well that you've kind of changed the way you work on songs. In the beginning, it was like 99.9% your stuff, Sam, but now it's getting a little bit more a band thing, or?
I mean, I've always written the sort of essence of the song and then we've worked on it as a group, but I mean, we have no idea what sort of shape or form our next release will take, but we've been mucking around with lots of stuff and there's plenty of ideas, and we've even been trying, songs where I didn't write, the bulk of the song. Like Daniel even sort of, he didn't put lyrics together, but he put like chords and melodies together and, you know, just trying brand new things like that. And we've been doing a lot more co-writing. I think at the moment we're in a real stage of experimenting, just trying lots and lots of different approaches to see what feels good, you know. So when we commit to whatever our next release is, we'll be going in with an approach that we think is going to work the best.
Yeah, cool. That sounds interesting to me. And I think it's a way to keep things fresh as well. I mean, for everybody in the band, not just for you, Sam, who has to get used to melodies that you wouldn't have thought of maybe.
Yeah,
but well, for the rest of the band as well.
Yeah.
It's nice. Like, I mean, like you said, we have written so much stuff over the last few years, so it's kind of, sometimes I feel like I've dried up a little bit and maybe there's not as many ideas coming, but when I hear stuff the other guys are working on, that's all it takes to get it going, you know, and then I get ideas. Cool. So, you know, that's a good way to work. And, like, because we've toured so much over the last few years, we've started jamming and improvising a lot more in our live show, which I think is an element I definitely want to include.
Yeah, cool. And
whatever we do next.
I mean, even if you are a good songwriter and you could go on forever like that, like you've done before, I think you have to take advantage of this well-oiled machine that the band is by now. By you've been playing shows for so many years now, and it's like that and the band works kind of. Is it true that you've written a biography for the band when you were 12 years old? Or is it a misconception?
I'm confused.
I read that you kind of started playing guitar when you were around 10, and you were imagining things with music from then on. And then somewhere I read that you were like 12 years old and you were writing a biography for a band called Ballpark Music. Or is that?
I think that's a misconception.
Oh, okay.
I think you might have read Sam was in year 12.
Oh, yeah. That's a really embarrassing thing that shows up when let's not talk about it. Otherwise, people will Google our band name.
You can't find it on Google anymore.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Something on my list of things to do for ages is like email whoever the hell's hosting that website and be like, take this embarrassing thing down where I talk. Yeah.
No, the cool
moving
thing.
On.
But I really like now about the fact about that misconception is that I read it wrong and I was like, he was 12 years old. Yes, he was imagining his old future.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool, though.
Sam's actually a fortune teller. So yeah. I mean, that would be really, really cool. We're just rolling with it now.
Yeah. He'd be like, Dean, you better be careful at tonight's show because one amplifier is going to fall over. And you have to step aside.
Yes.
Song 4, minute 2.
Yeah. I've seen the future and this is your final gig.
No, it won't be. Oh, man. But another thing that I read and I find it's interesting is that you sometimes wear a backpack during a show and you give away stuff to the audience.
That is the truth.
That is. Oh, I'm so happy about that, man.
Well, it's not so much a thing that happens. It's just a thing that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One time Sam took a boiling hot jug of water on stage in his backpack and poured himself a cup of tea during the gig.
Oh, yeah. And that led to special dance moves because you try to avoid to cover yourself up in
the spill of water.
There was, a few safety
around.
Concerns in the first couple of songs where I had a
You can't.
A few litres of boiling water on
so
my back.
Hard with a kettle in your backpack.
It sounds like a choreographer's trick, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Dance like as if there was a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Hot water in your backpack.
Yeah.
That's the style of dancing I want to see now. So you've brought a beautiful acoustic guitar, and I would want you to play She Only Loves Me When I'm There in an acoustic version, if that's okay for you, because I love that song and I want to hear an alternate version, like right now.
Yeah,
okay. Of course.
Yeah?
We'll do it.
Okay, let's do it. Ready?
Ready.
Guilford, Holy Mother of Hell and Jesus, in the architraves, waiting, comes to take all my misery away, at least for now. Kelvin, get home, it figure we can work it. Two, three, four. stitching algorithms right beneath the trees. Yeah, a half inspector knuckles now to bring me to my knees. Oh, if she wants this to be, she'll have to see the things that I have had to see. Maybe she would know. Switching algorithms right beneath the trees. Yeah, a half expector knuckles now to bring me to my knees.
Stadium applause for ball pop music, please. Join me. That was a beautiful version, and your voices are so on top of it. You've been doing that for a while. One can realize that. Thank you for that beautiful performance. Ballpark Music mit She Only Loves Me When I'm There in der akustischen Variante auf Flux FM. Heute Abend wird man das Lied und viele andere Lieder nochmal in der großen Variante hören mit Distorted Guitars und Full Band Sound. Mhm. Und wer sich das reinziehen möchte im Monarchen, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück, und wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Ballpark Music aus Brisbane. Heute Abend zum ersten Mal in Berlin auf der Bühne im Monarchen, und das sollte man sich, das hat man ja gerade an der Akustikvariante schon gehört, unbedingt reinziehen. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück, and I say thank you guys again. Please visit us again as soon as you come back to Berlin the next time.
We'll be back soon.
I want to talk a little bit more about stuff with you. It was interesting. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.